Leaders are all around us, at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Joel Martinez, Director of Aviation for the City of Waco, hosting the conversation is Nan Holmes. This program was recorded February 13, 2018 in the KWBU studio.
Hello, I'm Nan Holmes, and welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. Today, I'm visiting with Joel Martinez, Director of Aviation for the City of Waco. In other words, the Airport Director. Joel, welcome to this program. We're so happy to have you.
Yes, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, at first, I'm thinking, as I just said to you, that you might not originally be from Waco. You might not be from around here. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct. Yes.
So tell me more about where you're from, your early life.
Well, I was born and raised in Del Rio, Texas, which is out in West Texas, mm-hmm. or the Southern Desert, I guess, for those that don't know Texas geography that mm-hmm. well. I grew up there. I went to a university in San Antonio at St. Mary's University, and then I went back home once I got married and had a young family. The busyness of a big city just kind of was overwhelming and challenging, so I said, well, maybe we can make a go of our marriage and life as we were young in Del Rio. So we went back home and, what I affectionately call home forever.
Mm-hmm.
We went back home to kind of establish ourselves and get kind of rooted into our family. And that's where I started in airports. I wasn't schooled in airports, had no vision for airports. It was just an opportunity to start working within the city of Del Rio. And from there, it just kind of fell in love. I grew a passion for the work involved in dealing with airports.
Well, when you look back at your early days, when you went to school in Del Rio, who were the people who shaped your leadership qualities and your vision for leadership?
Well, when it comes to that question, there's several people that kind of really, cast a huge shadow over what leadership looked like. First and foremost was my father. Even though he passed away when I was 5 years old, he left such a legacy with what he did for the community of Del Rio, what he did, with his organizations that he was a part of. And so growing up, it was always, well, that's Leo's kid. That's Leo's boy. And he made such an impression. And then I had my brothers, now one of them's a sheriff. They've been school board presidents. They've been, they're one of the chiefs of staff for the University of Texas. And so, they've all kind of shadowed what my father's, ambitions were, what his goals were. And they've just continually given back and felt that passion to do that. And so I've always admired and looked up to them, and I've kind of wanted to emulate them in my own way, because obviously not everybody's an airport director. But, that's what made me strive, to be, in a position of leadership to have an impact for the community.
So do you feel like you're always trying to please your father, even though he might not be here physically, but there's that sense of trying to
I don't think it's a sense of approval. I just kind of wanted to – I just always – envisioned in my mind that I would just be that. And mm-hmm. it wasn't like if, it was how and in what way.
Yeah.
I don't think it's, and I think every once in a while I have a somber moment and I'll think back, what would my father think? And I think, mm-hmm. I think he'd be happy. I really don't think, I'd be seeking that approval or continue to be trying. I think, he'd look at me and say, you know what, son, you've done well. The way you've done it, he and I may not have agreed on some of the things I've done in my life, and I'm sure every father and son are going to have that disagreement, but I think he'd look at me and say, son, you've done well. You've done a good job. And so, I don't feel that. It's just more of a sense of pride and ownership that I've had, and, I've kind of placed him on that pedestal that way.
Oh, and tell me, were there any teachers, church leaders, anyone else, since your father was not able to physically walk with you?
Athletics mm-hmm. is really kind of where I, was pinned. All of my brothers were athletic. And so, that was kind of what my, you know, even though my father passed away and he was probably the more active in their athletic teams and things like that, my mother just kind of kept me in athletics. And I've had, you know, one coach was Coach DeLeon, and, you know, he's still a dear friend of mine today. You know, he's much older than I am, much senior than I am, but he coached my baseball teams, he coached my football teams, and he was just a really genuine, caring person that really, you know, he didn't have any kids that played. You know, he had children, but they were girls, and so he was just really, really in tune with his teams, with his kids, really cared. I mean, he would show up, you know, at my house when I had a bad game, and he would, you know, say, hey, look, we're, you know, let's adjust and do this. And so that time that he took.
Wow, that, you know, he went way beyond just the playing field.
And, you know, again, you know, because my dad was who he was and my family was, you know, they are established the way that they are in that community. You know, maybe he went out of his way. I don't know. But I'd like to think that he cared that much that if I was anybody else, he would have done the same thing, that, you know, if a kid showed that much dedication and time and effort into it, that he would want to be that, you know, be that person. And, you know, growing up, and that was young, like Pee Wee League, and then continuing on, you know, I had, you know, a couple of other high school football coaches, you know, David Gomez, you know, Jerry Burns, you know, they just kind of gave, encouraged me, even though I wasn't the biggest, the fastest kid, they saw that, you know, this kid works hard, you know, and by the time I was a senior, I was captain of the football team, and, you know, I was, you know, in their eyes, they voted that I was the best athlete on their team. But it was hard work, dedication. But that, that I wouldn't have done that had they just not encouraged me along the way.
Mm-hmm. Well, you graduated from Sol Ross University, and it's located in what I think is really the gem of Texas, the Big Bend area, Alpine, all that area is just amazing to me. I've been out there many times with my husband, and it sounds like it must have taken some, a lot of courage or whatever to leave that area to come to Waco.
I've always felt that I was in a shadow in that area, you know, because of my family. And in no way, you know, that I wanted to do better than them. I just kind of wanted to do it on my own. And maybe it's pridefulness. I don't know. But really, I credit God for giving me that opportunity to even to envision, you know, let me look outside of Del Rio and look outside of that area, that region, and let me look outside and see what I can do for myself and see if I have enough to be successful. And, you know, God has been, you know, has blessed me with many blessings, you know, not only with the opportunity at Waco Regional Airport with the city of Waco, you know, but in this time that I've been here now 9 years, you know, I've been given the opportunity to teach at Baylor. I teach at Baylor part-time. And so to me, I think, wow, a farm boy from Del Rio, Texas, in the city of Waco, doing what I do. And, you know, I can say, yes, it's my, I did that, but I really, you know, God's been good to me. The people around me have loved me and nourished me that way. And so it's been really, really great.
Well, so you go from the Del Rio airport to the Waco Regional Airport. And what, when it comes to airports, what is the number one leadership skill that is necessary? Because not all jobs are equal in what skill is needed. What do you think is number one?
I really do think team buy-in is essential for, especially like an airport. We're a very unique, you know, department and organization. You know, you have to have people around you that see your vision and are willing to work, you know, within that vision to accomplish the goal that we establish. And so that, you know, buy-in is huge. And then, you know, making them feel that they're a part of the team that's going to help get, you know, propel that department or the airport in that direction.
Well, I know it's the oversight of an airport is just so complicated when it comes to leadership. You have the facility, you have security, you have other organizations doing business in the airport, such as a rental car place. You have your personnel, and you also have to work with other airlines. And then you have the biggest one, the lost luggage. I bet that is its own special leadership quality when it comes to that.
It is. You know, it's one of those, you know, difficult things that we have to explain to citizens or, you know, travelers that come through here. You know, they, for some reason, we're the only phone number in the phone book, and it comes to my office. And so we get lost bags. You know, where's my lost bag? And where do we do this? And where do we do that? So I've taken the time to learn, you know, the American Airlines baggage claim system. And, you know, so you know, I'll just simply say, can you hold? And I'll ask them, and they'll look it up instead of having them, giving them another number and redirecting them.
Yeah.
And just say, you know what, this is what they've told me. And if you give me an address, you know, I can have it, you know, they can have it delivered to you, or you can come by and pick it up at this time. And so it is a challenge, because people think, well, the airport director, he's in charge of, you know, everything out there, and he lost my bag and he delayed my flight. And, you know, it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's his fault. It's raining when I have to travel, you know, all those things. And and so it does pose definite challenges.
Oh, I think there's so many landmines in an airport, that things that can go from the time someone maybe is running late and running into the airport. And it takes a lot of, and it's so important that everyone there who's working there try to keep people calm and, you know, to prevent that kind of meltdown in the airport.
I've definitely become well-versed in conflict resolution, you know, when we deal with those types of issues. We do have them. You know, I'm late, mm-hmm. or, you know, the flight is early and, you know, it's not their fault. And it's never, you know, the passenger's fault, you know.
Or it's canceled.
And those are the toughest challenges, you know, to help our, you know, our customers or our passengers understand why, whether it's weather in Dallas, which is, you know, very finicky, mm-hmm. or, you know, maintenance or anything like that. So, you know, that is a huge challenge, you know, in my position.
Well, you know, this airport is an important link, because if you're in Waco and you don't want to drive into a major city, so this is a very important link. I think sometimes people forget that and think, oh, we're just a little airport. We're a vital link. And I noticed that under your leadership, the airport was named Texas Airport of the Year. What year was that?
That was in 2011.
So not that long ago.
No, not that long
ago. Even though you've been going through a lot of changes there.
Yes, we were part of a large construction project that really addressed some safety issues, some new safety concerns the FAA had. And it required closing two runways and working with the two airlines that we had here at the time, and just a lot of coordination with a lot of different moving pieces. And so it was – the FAA just acknowledged, hey, this was a pretty stressful and difficult time, and you guys came out under budget and on schedule. So, you know,
wow.
It was fairly significant improvement, or fairly significant achievement there for us.
And I want to ask you, when I'm sure so many people ask you this question – do you ever wish the airport was in another location?
Everybody says or thinks that it should be, you know, if it was more centrally located, you know, maybe people would use it more. You know, if it was closer to town, if it wasn't so kind of, you know, tucked away and people didn't know about it here and there. But, you know, it offers a very unique characteristic that we don't have a lot of challenges at other airports that are kind of engulfed in neighborhoods or in the middle of town.
The noise factor.
Yeah, the noise factor. I mean, because we do get those complaints, don't get me wrong, but they would be far greater. And it would offer more restrictions for the aircraft that are using our airport. So it would really be, you know, I think, you know, for the size of our community, for the location and the way the city lays out, I think it's really in a good spot. I don't think I would wish that it was somewhere else, or even across town at TSDC. I think that every airport we have here offers a very unique component to the aviation industry in McLennan County, you know, between McGregor, TSDC, and Waco Regional. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, we do offer a good fit for our location and a good fit for the community.
Well, let's talk about the future of the airport, because it must be evolving all the time. Just the airline industry mm-hmm. is changing, not only aircraft, but how you go to the airport, what goes on there. Do you foresee any other airline operating out of Waco?
I do see that. I mean, that's one of the biggest questions, or one of the most common questions that I get is, you know, when are we going to have another carrier? When are we going to have another carrier? And since United left in 2012, you know, our market has been fairly strong, you know, for our area. And so I do see another carrier coming back, probably in the next, I would say, I had actually kind of made a pseudo promise that by the spring of 2018, we would have some strong communications with United, because it would be United, would be the mm-hmm. other carrier. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
A legacy carrier, and we don't want to chase, you know, these small, low airfare carriers. We don't have that kind of a market here, but United would be our next bet there.
And for those of you just joining us, this is KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes, talking today with Joel Martinez. And let's go back to the future.
Okay.
Do you have any plans for expansion of the airport itself?
Well, our runway facilities, our runway infrastructure, that is probably the it's the longest they'll be. So as far as expanding or extending any of those things, we don't see there isn't a need for that. So we're going to focus on our other sorts of infrastructure, whether it's going to be the size of our terminal building. You know, we have terminal building expansions planned. We have other upgrades and improvements to pavement around the airport. And at some point, you know, probably about 7 or 8 years, we're going to have to revisit the taxiways, the pavement themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to just, you know, expansion, it leads to, it gives a sense of growth, but we also have to maintain what we have. And I think that, you know, if you look at just the runways themselves and all the pieces of pavement that we have out there, they're laid where they need to be. Now, we just need to make sure that they're structurally sound for use.
And the maintenance of that might be just a very difficult job ongoing to have the money, and it's just like a street only with a lot bigger street.
That's right. It those are challenges. Unfortunately, you know, we're eligible for FAA funding, so we work with the FAA, you know, the Federal Aviation Administration. We work with them on a consistent basis trying to establish funding and planning and all those things.
Well, I know my sister has flown from DC sometime, you know, usually to Dallas and here. And she can never get over that the parking is free. So do you see that will continue?
Well, that is something that we have to really look at. You know, the airport, my responsibility is to also make sure the airport can self-sustain itself.
Yes.
And so, you know, we do have a general fund transfer from the city. You know, we don't have generate enough revenues without leases. So that is something that we constantly have to evaluate is, you know, should we charge for parking, or at least the short-term parking area, the one closer to the terminal building? Because most airports our size, you look at Abilene and San Angelo, some of the peer airports that we have, they charge for parking to some extent. I mean, it's not full, you know, everything out, you know, to the curb or, you know, to the property end is for, you know, for fee. But, you know, it helps them generate revenue. So, you know, we constantly evaluate that. And as, you know, our general fund, the health of our general fund within the city, how that looks and how that works, that really does play a component to how we decide that.
Well, it's exciting to think about you might get another carrier, because that will give people more options. If they can get on a plane and go directly to Houston as they used to do, that would be something. But do you find that the airport, I don't know exactly how, but has benefited from what I call the Magnolia effect, all the people coming into town who want to go downtown to the silos and see all the new places downtown? Do you find that people are flying more?
We see a lot of Magnolia bags and bakery, you know, little pastry boxes, you know, in and out of our airport all on a very consistent basis. I don't know if I can't tell if they are using Waco Airport solely for that. I know our numbers haven't grown as the city, you know, or the city CVB might track our visitors. It hasn't grown exponentially like that number has. But one of the challenges that we face is, you know, Texas is, we're centrally located, and Texas is a beautiful state to visit. So people, you know, that travelers that do travel to Magnolia may go to Dallas, they may go to Austin, they go as far as San Antonio, just because it's Texas and they want to see all the great sights. And so, you know, that is one of the challenges we have. We can say that we do have an uptick in travelers, or at least users that are visiting Magnolia, but we can't say that, oh, we're seeing exponential growth based on Magnolia.
Well, one thing I know is that Texans have a love affair with their cars. So if they can go a certain distance, but there's a point beyond which it's much easier to fly. And I know that it must be a real challenge for you to make sure that people, when they come in, that the first people they may greet may be just the people in the airport.
That's right. I mean, that's one of the things that we tell, you know, our employees, whether they're custodians, our security guards that work the, you know, the overnight shift. You know, I remind the airline ticket, you know, people, you know, the airline managers, you know, you all are the face of the community. And so when people come down, you know, let's just make sure we're treating them courteous and kind and being helpful to them.
And, you know, I don't want to be a downer, but sometime when people fly into an airport, it's for emotional reasons. They're coming, you know, it's not always for a happy trip or things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think just kind people, and I do believe that the majority of people who are at the airport are just basically kind people, that that goes a long way once they're there for whatever reason.
Yeah, we try and ease travelers' mind as they come in. Even, you know, our cafe employees that work in there, you know, we just try and greet people and just be friendly and welcoming. And, you know, we've gone through the Wild About Waco training to kind of help answer any questions that may come our way and things like that. So, you know, I agree. I think customer service and those things are very important.
And do you feel like sometimes people are a little more cautious about the smaller planes, so they need to be, you know, do you ever find people that who are worried and talk to you about the safety of those smaller planes?
Well, I think a lot of that concern has gone away with the regional jets that they're using now. American and United, right before they left, they moved from the propeller aircraft. And that was the one that gave them the most concern, there was no safety issue there. It just, you know, the look and the feel of being in a jet versus being in a propellered aircraft, it just made them warm and fuzzy inside. And so we don't have a lot of those questions, or I don't see a lot of those questions about the size of the airplane or the size of the airport being safe. I think travelers are becoming more and more savvy and more and more comfortable with what the aircraft they're using.
Even though Waco doesn't come to mind, you know, first with this, I'm sure that as an airport director, you must think of the possibility of an attack sometime. Do you have to do a terrorist attack? Do you have to do some kind of – everybody knows what to do in the event of a
– We do have training, you know, and we do have instruction on what to do and how to do. And actually, I think that Waco and small airports – may not be the source of an attack, but they may be the gateway for somebody to infiltrate mm-hmm. the security system for airports. Because mind you, you know, once they fly from Waco, they can be at DFW,
yes.
they can be at JFK, they can be anywhere. So if they can somehow sneak something through or pass something off and it gets there, you know, it may not be between Waco and DFW. That's not their main objective. So I am very mindful to tell my staff and to remind them, you know, let's not get complacent. Think, oh, well, it's just Waco, and it won't happen here. It could start here, and
such a good point. I had not thought of that.
And so, you know, we do harp on that. You know, I make sure that they don't get complacent. That I challenge them to, you know, to look at things and to always be vigilant, even when you're not working. You know, just when you're in and around the airport. I live out by the airport, and I know a couple of other staff that live out there by the airport. Say, when you drive around, just look in there, make sure everything looks the way it's supposed to. And so, you know, we try and do that.
Well, that is very reassuring. You know, recently, I'm sure everyone saw where the woman tried to take the peacock on the plane as a comfort animal. Do you ever have similar situations?
I mean, not as exotic as that. I mean, we've seen dogs, we've seen cats. I think we've seen a pig at one point, a potbelly pig.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't handle how the airline addresses those issues, but we do see them pass through quite a bit. So again, we just, you know, and actually because of the service animal, increase in service animals traveling, you know, we had to create a pet area for them to go and, you know, relieve themselves outside, and we had to put signage out and everything.
Really?
Like that. Yeah, so a lot of people don't know that, but the airline people know that, and they convey that to the customers that come in with animals and say, look, if your animal needs to, you know, go to the grassy area, you know, over there by the parking lot, that's designated for that.
So that sounds like you are trying to diffuse any mm-hmm. potential. And that must be a lot of your day-to-day duties are just diffusing things.
That's right.
Just like the threat of attack, the threat of a meltdown, the threat of an angry outburst, you're kind of in the business of diffusing things.
Yes. Like I said earlier, conflict resolution has become one of my better, you know, better characteristics out there. Just kind of maintain, you know, calm demeanor and, you know, kind of see through the fog or see through the actual, you know, environment at that time and kind of establish, you know, a procedure or a method to get past that.
And so sometimes I think people just want to be heard when they're angry, and maybe that's a leadership skill of listening.
Yes, that is. Listening to angry customers that have either lost their luggage, have canceled their flight's been canceled. I mean, we've gone, I can't tell you how many folks I've just listened to and just had to be, basically, I'm sorry for that experience. I really wish it wasn't that way. And, just consoling as best as I can, even though I really can't offer them any improvement to their experience and, their whole travel mm-hmm. experience. So that is, listening has also, become something that I try and even tell my staff, because I don't touch and hear everybody. But mm-hmm. when they call in, they may get somebody else to just listen to them.
If a young person's out there listening and thinking, or the parents, I want to work in airport management, how do you reply? Because you yourself, you didn't start out to become an airport manager. You have a degree in business, I think.
Yes, in just business administration. And, like I said, I worked my way up through the system at a smaller airport. So for a young person that's interested, and interestingly enough, I also teach at Baylor, mm-hmm. and I'm part of their internship program. So I've interned several, probably half a dozen students.
What course do you teach?
I teach airport administration and air transportation management. So, unfortunately, when I was going through school, they didn't have aviation or airport-related mm-hmm. Courses. And so for parents or young people that are out there, said, look at, TSTC, look at Baylor. I mean, there are a high number of higher learning institutions that have programs that are geared for airport administration or airport management.
So what is the first job you did when you went to the airport?
Oh, I was actually a clerk. I was a file clerk, and I answered the phone in a three-man staff. And on Fridays, I joke with my maintenance staff, and on Fridays, it was my day on the shredder, so I had to go mow the fields out there. And so I started literally at the bottom of an airport and worked my way up.
That is amazing, because I think sometimes the expectation is you would just go directly to some kind of management job in an airport if you want to be an airport manager. But you might have to sweep the floors, take out the trash, mow the lawn.
And that is, that is what I tell my students. I said, you take a clerk position, take an admin position, take something that just gets you in the door and allows you to see what happens, and then, take advantage of opportunities. Be assertive where you can complete the job and do the task at hand.
Well, that takes a lot of fortitude. You're thinking, I went to college for 4 years and here I am having to take out the trash. But that is part of it, because you almost have to do those kind of jobs to understand how you can motivate people to do them later on.
Yes, and don't get me wrong, even to this day, if I walk through the building and there's something that needs to be tidied up, I'm not on the phone. I'll just, grab, whatever it is I need to clean it up. And I tell my staff to do the same. Don't walk by a problem. Let's try and fix it.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I think that's good advice for anyone mm-hmm. to try to just not look the other way. I want to thank you so much for coming in today and to sharing this information. I think it helps us all understand a little bit more about our airport and how we are very lucky to have an airport at all here in Waco that is serving, where the people are here to serve our needs. Mm-hmm. Joel, it's been a real pleasure to visit with you, and may your year be continued success, and may everyone be flying the friendly skies out of Waco.
Yes, thank you very much for having me on.
This conversation was recorded February 13th, 2018 in the KWBU studios. This and past episodes can be found on our website at kwbu.org under the Programs tab, Central Texas Leadership Series.